Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Sal Khan has been on 60 Minutes and been named as Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People in the World, talking about the future of education and his online Khan Academy. This morning, he's here to talk about the Khan Academy's motto, a free world-class education for anyone, anywhere. Speaking of education, just last week, Missouri Governor Jay Nixon announced that quality early learning will be a chief focus of his second term in office. Nixon said he could think of no better way to start his term than to talk about ways to give kids a better start at life. Early childhood education can decrease academic problems for students, although many childhood education centers have long waiting lists. Nixon pledged new spending on the issue. This morning, we're here to talk about the importance of early childhood education. And with us today, Tyler Knotberg is president and CEO of U.S. Engineering. He's also a principal member of the Alliance for Childhood Education, a group of businessmen and women who advocate for quality education. Tyler, good morning.
Nice to have you.
Also here is Erin Brower. She's the public policy director at the Partnership for Children and can talk to us about legislative issues on this topic in both Missouri and Kansas. Erin, nice to have you, too.
Thank you.
Good morning. And finally, Jim Cacamo is here. He's been involved in early learning and child advocacy work for 40 years. He's the director of the Department of Early Learning at the Mid-America Regional Council. Jim, good morning to you,
too. Good morning, Steve. It's good to be here.
Well, the idea that early childhood education is important, even critical, is no longer a secret. But how do we pay for it, and how do folks who can't afford it take full advantage of it, Jim?
Well, I think there are a number of answers to your question. First of all, it is expensive. You might ask the question, how do we pay for public education? Well, the public helps pay for public education. And I think we will never have a very large program and touch all the kids without some public support. And I think that's critically important. It's one of the reasons why I think Governor Nixon took it on as an issue for his next 4 years in office.
So, Tyler, why is it then, you know, the model seems set in stone. We begin paying for public education in kindergarten and go forward. And yet folks like you and lots of other smart folks say earlier years are just as important. So why don't we expand the paradigm here? What's holding us back?
Well, in terms of what's holding us back, I think that we still need to overcome the cultural perception that investing public funds as well as private companies having an interest in investing their funds in what goes on in the early years is something that should be sort of an imperative from an economic development standpoint, leaving aside the moral obligation. All of the evidence points towards what brain development does early on and how an investment up front today leads to much greater benefits tomorrow. I had the good fortune about a year or so ago to give a talk with Jim Heckman, who's a Nobel Prize winning economist and former Federal Reserve governor, who has done a lot of work on brain development and the economic impact of investing in early childhood education. And it's something I absolutely subscribe to.
But it's not happening. It's still not happening.
That's correct.
Is it happening anywhere in the country?
Well, there are some isolated cases where very sort of progressive programs are being put into place. Again, I have had the good fortune to serve on the board of an organization called Colorado Succeeds out in Colorado. Governor Hickenlooper, Mayor Hickenlooper at the time, invested a lot of money and campaigned on a pledge of universal pre-K out there. And Colorado has absolutely seen some benefits, both in terms of innovation as well as, the slow going of economic payback early on.
And there are a number of states where the governor's become very involved over the years that have a much closer approach to universal pre-K than we might have either in Missouri or Kansas. North Carolina is an example.
And what do they do in North Carolina?
Well, they use some of their lottery money, a good portion of their lottery money, to fund early learning, and they reach a lot more kids than we do here in Missouri or in Kansas.
Well, Erin Brower's here with the Partnership for Children. She's going to tell us that we're going to see universal pre-K in both Kansas and Missouri by the end of May when the legislative sessions end, right,
Erin?
Or is that where we're headed here or not? Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, in Missouri, the school funding formula just covers kindergarten through 12. And last year, we were $385 million short of school funding.
So the idea of expanding
The idea of expanding is frightening to the legislature. How can we include pre-kindergarten for 3- and 4-year-olds when we can't even properly fund the school funding formula right now? $385 million short last year. They're projecting closer to $600 million short this year alone.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
What would it cost to expand preschool to third kids 3 and 4 years old? What's your any sense of that?
I mean, it would be millions.
Millions, tens of millions of dollars.
Well, it would be millions of dollars.
We costed it out at one time. If you take all the children that are currently being covered by public sources like Head Start, for example, take all those kids out, it's right around $1 billion a year.
Billion just in the state of Missouri?
If you do it correctly, yes, sir.
$1 billion.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And the important, I should say, is for quality early
yes.
learning. And quality costs money, but it's worth it. It is a good, solid investment.
So the issue on the table here is that everyone agrees that early childhood education is important. It's the money that's holding us back. Am I seeing this right?
Correct. Governor Nixon came out with a great speech about early learning. Tom Dempsey, the leader of the Senate, and Senator Pierce, the chairman of the Education Committee, fully acknowledge how important early learning is. Again, it's the problem with the school funding formula, and it's a budget issue.
So where do we go from here, then? If we're all on the table here, everyone agrees it's important, Democrats, Republicans, there's no issues here. How do we push the ball down the field to make this happen?
Well, I think there are a number of things, and we're so appreciative of Tyler's engagement and the engagement of the business community. In Kansas City, we've been very blessed to have the Civic Council and the Chamber supportive of these issues. And it seems to me that getting everyone to understand the importance of early learning was no small task. It took a long time, but I think people really do get it now. So the next big task is to look for funding. But there are things that we could do in Missouri. For example, the collecting sales tax on items purchased on the Internet would draw in a good deal of money. And so
wouldn't be $1 billion a year.
No, of course not. But remember, if I asked you what the Kansas City, Missouri School District spends on education and you said the figure, it would be big. But we didn't get there in a year. We didn't get there in 2 years. I know Aaron wants to get it by May, and I hope you're
I'm on board.
From your lips to
yeah.
God's ear,
mm-hmm.
let Aaron be successful. But it just takes time. It's nothing we can do in a year. It's nothing we can do in 2 years. But if the discussion begins, if Governor Nixon is successful in getting the discussion going, and if we can add $300 million this year and several hundred million the year after and so on, before you know it, we'll be there.
Hmm. Aaron Brower, what did Governor Nixon propose last week? What's his emphasis right now?
His emphasis is investing early, and it's the best investment for Missouri. It's
He wants to spend some money on this, right?
We're hoping he restores cuts to early learning that happened last year. There were about 10 million cuts to early learning, including early Head Start. We're hoping we'll see in his budget, which will come out January 28th when he does the State of the State. We're hoping he will put money back into early learning. And there are a couple bills right now. Senator Kevany from St. Louis and our own Senator Justice from Kansas City have pre-K bills out there that would include pre-K in the school funding formula. And Senator Kevany's, one of his bills, only will include it for low-income students. So, and it will only fund pre-K once the school funding formula is fixed. So if we could just get it on the books where pre-K is allowed, that would be our first step. And then, and like Jim said, it's going to be a process, but let's get it on the books where it can be allowed in the school funding formula, and then let's work to get it funded.
We're talking about what's happening on the Missouri side, Aaron. What's happening on the Kansas side right now?
Well, on the Kansas side, most of you probably heard that Governor Brownback did say he was putting $10 million towards mental health, which is obviously a very big, important issue. What wasn't so clear was $9 million of that came from the Children's Initiative Fund, and that's what funds early learning in Kansas. And in the years past, the CIF fund has been properly funded, and Kansas was doing well. But now, now that Kansas, that they lost $9 million going towards mental health, and then they lost some money in the tobacco master settlement agreement, that's going to take money out of the Children's Initiative Fund, which funds early learning. So Kansas is struggling too. And with the decrease in corporate taxes, taxes pay for public education. So Kansas is in a scary spot. In Missouri, unfortunately, some of our legislators are looking to repeat what Kansas did, cutting taxes, and that would mean cutting education.
You know, I'm just wondering if you're a mom or dad out there and you're wondering about where to live in the Kansas City metro, is one side of the state line or the other a better place to live when it comes to gaining access to early childhood education? What do we know about that, Tyler?
Well, one of the things that I would say is that this has been on the agenda sort of regionally for quite a while. You know, if we're looking to try and bring businesses in from out of town, or you're trying to get to have businesses stay in Kansas City, the question for families, of course, is, you know, where do I live? And while there might be sort of an answer that's personally relevant to particular individuals, I think the real thing that business leaders are actually trying to ask is, long term, the investments on both sides of the state line are going to determine whether or not we have a vibrant business community, not because we're bringing people in from the outside, but because we're looking to try and train our workforce. I mean, we've heard a lot so far about where the current population stands in terms of its workforce readiness. And, you know, as Jim mentioned, and Aaron as well, these investments require long periods of time. And I think the business community has an opportunity and obligation to invest today in issues that are going to certainly benefit us tomorrow. I think that, you know, when you look at it from that standpoint, that's sort of the key linkage to this issue as an economic development issue. That, of course, feeds down to families and of course, where they decide they want to live. But really, one of the issues that we're looking closely at is, you know, okay, how are we preparing our current children entering school, whether it's kindergarten or, you know, all the way through sort of the primary years, yeah, to be a productive members of the workforce? Yeah. Well, the opportunity and the obligation is to create high-performing schools, and that starts with early childhood and carries on through the rest of the system.
You know, wasn't the chamber talking about emphasizing early childhood, or wasn't there a mayor in the last few years talking about, you know, you could make Kansas City, Missouri a mecca for early childhood and have that be an economic development driver in and of itself?
Yeah, Mayor James is talking about his reading initiative and the emphasis on quality early learning. His vision is that all ending third graders will read at grade level, and we're pretty far away from that. But, you know, with the issue of workforce development, we are quickly learning it's not just a workforce development issue, but it's a military preparedness issue. We have a number of generals of the Army talking about 75% of people between the ages of 19 and 24 would not be taken by the military if they tried to join up. That's a frightening thought in terms of our safety of our nation, national preparedness and security. So it is a broadly reaching issue.
We're talking, if you're just joining us this morning, about the importance of early childhood education. We're visiting with Tyler Knotberg. He's with a member of the Alliance for Childhood Education. Aaron Brower, a public policy director at the Partnership for Children. And Jim Cacamo, who is with the Mid-America Regional Council. Our phone number here, if you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888. Our email address, UpToDate at kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. Kim from Overland Park, good morning.
Hi, I'm calling because I have the best job in the whole wide world. I'm a parent educator with Shawnee Mission School District's Parents as Teachers, and I'm very excited to hear this program today. One of the things that people don't realize is that that brain is 90% developed by age 5. And programs like mine actually are pretty inexpensive. Out of our $347 million budget that we have in Shawnee Mission, $500,000 of that is spent on us 10 educators who go out. And we do, last year we got about 12,000 home visits in, and we go in and we help our families know how to developmentally get their children on board, so when they enter kindergarten, they know not only their ABCs, but they're already adding 2 + 2 = 4. And we just got to get people to realize that a 3-year-old can add. A 4-year-old can do patterns. We used to think they only could do that in first and second grade, but we can do it younger, and it doesn't always have to be an expensive program. It can be something like parents as teachers.
You know, Kim, you really make a good point. I think that what parents do with the children early on matters. I think programs like parents as teachers matter, and you're right. It's not a terribly expensive program. In Missouri, for example, several years ago, parents as teachers was cut almost $8 million, which was pretty severe statewide. Fortunately,
yes,
many superintendents took money from their general operating fund and put it towards continuing parents as teachers. So you're absolutely correct. It is a cost-effective program and really does help parents be their child's best teacher.
Well, and what a lot of people don't realize is those children who do parents as teachers, even though it's a simple model, they score regardless if they live in a Mission Hills home, on Ward Parkway, or in Section 8 housing. Those children score collectively higher on standardized tests by simply implementing different ways to play with their children, implementing different expectations at these critical windows of opportunity that these children have. And just simply by doing that, we make it easier on those grade school teachers down the road.
All right, Kim, thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, we've been talking here a little bit about financing and what a struggle that is. You know, the other side of the issue is this the problem of early childhood education slots, the supply of available slots, if you will. As Governor Nixon pointed out, waiting lists have become a very big issue. What about that part of the equation, Tyler? Where are we with that in the Kansas City metro area?
Well, where we are in Kansas City is there certainly aren't as many available slots for high-quality early learning as parents would like. Going back to your question about—
There's a greater demand than there is a supply right now.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that, going back to your earlier question about what is something that we have to overcome, well, you know, there is sort of a perception out there that early learning programs are nothing more than daycare, and there's a lot of question from people about why should I be investing public funds to take care of your child using a daycare program.
Right.
Well, a lot of these more formalized programs defined as high quality early learning are making a real impact using curriculums that are developmentally significant. And when you think about how to develop those sorts of programs, what needs to happen is that as they come online, people will begin to realize what the benefits are. And the business community certainly has an opportunity to step up and play a role in voicing what that high quality expectation is. Simply throwing programs out there that aren't producing the results or using some of the tested methodologies are not the sorts of things that you would typically find, you know, groups like ours getting behind. But in the case of the ones that are, we certainly want to support those.
Are you saying the business community needs to finance and step up and put some money towards this issue in a more aggressive way than it is right now?
Well, there are a few things that can happen. Putting time, talent, and treasure behind this means sort of a triple threat approach. So there are certainly examples of public-private partnerships that have worked in particular communities. At the end of the day, the regional community in Kansas City, Kansas and Missouri, has to decide what kind of approach is best for it. We can't simply import programs that have been successful elsewhere. So public-private partnerships are one way of doing things. You know, certainly as a business leader, I feel an opportunity and sort of an obligation with my own business to talk about why investing in early childhood education is significant. I have a ready-made audience with an amazing organization that is behind these sorts of things. So that's another way you can actually invest in building support for these kinds of programs.
Jim, yeah.
The issue is that, frankly, quality costs money. I mean, it's true in everything we do,
yep.
Everything.
Yep.
And so we have to come to the realization that you can put your 3-year-old in a child care program that maybe is what Tyler talked about in terms of just daycare and babysitting.
Yeah.
But you can hire a person who's 18 years old with no training, or you can hire somebody with an associate's of arts degree, or you can hire somebody with a bachelor's degree, or you can, and as you go up that ladder, it costs more money. Well, the point is, it is truly the Fram commercial. You know, the oil filter, pay me now or pay me later.
Yeah.
What, when you let those early years slide, so to speak, you never get it back. And that's really dramatic. And people are now getting that.
Our topic this morning is early childhood education. Let's slow down and just step back for a moment. We're sitting here talking about the importance of education when you're 3 and 4 years old. Some folks out there listening to this might assume, what is the big deal here? Why can't you wait until a kid is 5 or 6 to begin this process? Are they really missing that much?
Well, the point, though, Steve, is that the kid's not waiting. I mean, you may wait as a father, but your child is growing and developing. Your child is learning things. You as a parent need to be responsive and reinforce that learning. Where do kids...
But why is early learning so important? Why can't you wait until you're 5? Of course the kid's going to be learning, but why do we need programs to help accelerate that process?
Our whole society has changed. Many moms and dads are both working. Many single-parent households, the parent is working. 85% of children under the age of 5 are in the care of someone other than their parent during the day. Now, do you want that to be just grandma? Not that there's anything wrong with that, because strong, caring love is important. But wouldn't it be nice if grandma had some training and things that she could do to sort of stimulate that growth? The other thing is, there are lots of children in our country and across the world who early on are exposed to trauma, whether it's lots of arguing at home, abuse at home, spousal abuse, whether you live in a neighborhood where it's unsafe. That trauma takes a toll on the developing psycho-emotional nature of the child. We know that. There's lots of research that supports that.
Mm-hmm.
So you may want to wait as a parent. But remember, that child is not waiting. It's growing and learning.
What do we know about a child who's been through a progressive early childhood education program 15 years down the road versus one who doesn't? Are there? I'm sure there are lots of stats about that. Aaron, run with that a little bit.
Well, if a child goes to pre-kindergarten, that child is far less likely to have to repeat grades further on. And they're more likely to graduate high school. So that's saving the state money by putting them through quality early learning. They won't have to pay for that child to repeat grades later. That child will graduate. That child will earn more money than other high school dropouts. The success rate, I mean, the research is proven, and I'd like to add to what Jim said, just the importance that child is learning. We know 90% of the brain develops between the ages of 0 to 3. So that time before the child goes to kindergarten, 0 to 5, they're sponge.
You know, Aaron, in our state, one of the biggest advocates for early learning is George Lombardi, the director of the corrections
in Missouri.
He says, if you want to get rid of prisons in 20 years, invest in early learning. Tyler used the word investment. It is an investment.
That's a really interesting idea.
A strong,
really powerful idea, Jim.
It is. Another strong proponent was Jim Corwin when he was chief of police.
Police here in Kansas City.
And he believed that if you want to reduce crime, quality early learning in the long run, that investment will help.
I want to go back to an earlier point. We were talking about, you know, which side of the state line is the better place to put a kid these days. Where is the Kansas City, Missouri metro area when it comes to early childhood compared to other big cities around the country? Are there stats that give us a sense of sort of where we stand, Jim?
We're actually looked at as a region that's really doing some wonderful things. We have a marvelous Head Start program. In fact, today, as we speak, right this very moment, there are a group of teachers being trained on a new math science curriculum for 4-year-olds coming from the University of Virginia. We're working with them. We have more centers that are licensed by the National Accreditation Organization, and that does go noticed by other people. So we're moving. We have a lot further to go. Part of the problem with goodness is it's the biggest barrier to greatness. People say, oh, well, our stuff's pretty good in Kansas City. Sure it is, but it isn't great. And Kansas City can be great when it comes to its young children.
You know, I remember as a young dad checking out early childhood programs where I live and sort of going through the whole sticker shock syndrome of exactly what that was going to cost me. What does a week of a good early childhood center cost me these days, Tyler?
Well, I wouldn't know exactly what the range would look like, but, you know, Jim, perhaps you...
Yeah, I don't know that I've broken it down to a weekly cost or a monthly cost, but we know that a quality early learning program is about $8,000 to $9,000 a year per kid.
That's a lot of money, Jim.
Sure it is.
For a lot of folks.
Yeah. Sure it is, but what does it cost you to incarcerate a person for a year?
Yeah.
I was going to say it's cheaper to send a child to public college in Missouri than it is for child care. You spend more on college tuition than child care. And that's why so many parents can't afford to send their children to pre-kindergarten. It's expensive, and as we noted earlier, there's a lack of access. There's waiting lists. So if we don't have a public opportunity for all kids to go, our community, Missouri, Kansas, we're all suffering.
So what you're saying is I was able to send my kids to preschool. I can afford to send them to college, which I'm looking right down the barrel of right now in my life. I can handle it, is what you're saying. There's good news for someone like me, Jim. Yeah.
There is a construction company that builds prisons, and the president of that company says it costs about $36,000 to build a cell and another $30,000 to maintain a person per year in that cell. Now, what happens if we took half of that money? What happens if we took a third of that money and we applied it to quality early learning?
Yeah. How long has the idea been around, Jim, that early childhood makes so much sense for people? Tell me about the evolution of how we've come to the point now where everyone seems to be on the same page when it comes to the importance of early childhood education.
Well, I think the history, you know, I've been around, as you said at the opening of the show, a long time, although I just look like I'm 30.
I try to be nice
really
about
not.
It,
yeah.
Jim.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah. Our society has evolved. Our society used to be a society like when I grew up. Your mom is home raising the child. Dad's out working. We haven't seen that model for many decades. And I think as parents are struggling, they're asking themselves, how is it that my child can grow up and have a better life than I had? And you know yourself, because you cover this, there are lots of studies that show that perhaps they will not have a better life than you had.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a dad and a grandfather, I'm looking at that for my children, and I'm now to a point that I say, we've got to make a difference. We've got to. And the way to do it intellectually is to understand the importance of it. And I think your point is well taken. Our civic and business community and many of the people who live in our metropolitan area understand the importance of it. Now it's time to take the next step. How do we fund it?
That's interesting. Let's go to some phone calls here. Matt from Lawrence. Matt, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Well, it's a little bit of a segue from what you all are talking about in that early childhood development. I have a 2.5-year-old, and I've always looked at other countries and thought how great it is that children in those countries speak multiple languages. But we don't really have much of a push for that, which could start easily in the early childhood development kind of arena, where children are sponges and can really pick up on a lot of these things. I wish that I were bilingual. But I don't have that to really impress onto my child. And so it'd be nice if there were a lot of resources or even a resource to have that in the future.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more,
and
Matt.
Matt, I spent a lot of time working in an area school district, and the issue of foreign language came up a lot. And I think you're right. Children are sponges at 2.5 and 3.5 and so on. One of the issues that we deal with is in foreign countries, you don't have to go very far to come into the borders of another country where they speak another language. So speaking a foreign language in Europe is really important. I learned how to speak Kansan, and I learned how to speak Illinoisan, and I can speak Iowan. I don't have to worry so much about those. Yes, there are little dialect differences, but it just isn't as important to the general public as it is when you live in France and you go to Switzerland or you go to Italy.
Yeah, but I would argue that the world is becoming more and more globalized. I mean, especially Mexico is really not that far away.
Right. No, you're absolutely correct.
And so I think for children in the future to get ahead in this world economy, the foreign language can be a huge step in the right direction.
Matt, I appreciate the phone call. We're out of time here, but I want to thank our good guests. You're talking about early childhood education. Aaron Brower, Public Policy Director at the Partnership for Children, Jim Cacamo with the Mid-America Regional Council, and Tyler Knotberg, who's a principal member of the Alliance for Childhood Education. Come back and give us an update sometime soon, guys, about what's going on out there. Such an important issue.
Thank you.